And he came. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time was when he was born. He was born at exactly the right time, at the best time in history, and he was born when God had it planned that he would be born. And God has a plan, and his plan cannot be altered or changed. And there are some many unconditional covenants that God has made in his word. And Jesus Christ was prophesied to come all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And there's many, many hundreds of prophecies in the Bible. And most of them, or a lot of them, were fulfilled at his birth and through his life. And as God fulfilled those prophecies 100%, the future prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet will also be fulfilled with the same accuracy and exactness as he's done in the past. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. It is one of the accounts of the Christmas story. This particular one that we have here in Matthew chapter 2 takes place approximately 2 years after the birth of Jesus. We have in our manger scenes the wise men there. That is not exactly scriptural. They, when they saw his tree, his star, when they saw his star, they prepared and left and came to see him. When King Herod found out that they were not going to come back and tell him where he was, he had all the boys killed in Bethlehem that were 2 years and under by the time that he found out that the star appeared. And it says they found him in a house when they came, and it says the young child. But if somebody's got the wise men at the manger scene, that's we're not going to go rip them out and tear them and tell them they're doing it wrong. They were there, and they came. And what made them wise were who they were seeking. It's what made them wise. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, probably Babylon area, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, understandably. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Verse 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently the time that the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for your precious Son that you've given us. God, we ask that this is not the only time we remember his birth. But God, as we study his birth and see the wonders of what has happened in your Bible, let us see how it fits us today as we apply wise men today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've probably seen the bumper sticker and signs and things like that all around. It says, wise men still seek him. As I thought about this, I was reminded of many points in history where people have went out looking for things. Ponce de Leon spent his whole life looking for the fountain of youth. People trekked through the deepest parts of the rainforest looking for cures and medicines for all kinds of things, or trying to find some bug or butterfly or insect or a bird or animal that nobody has ever seen before. They want to be the first ones to discover it. And they spend their life and expose themselves to diseases and all kinds of things searching for something they're not even sure is there. Untold billions have been spent looking for life in outer space. And they get so excited when they find a little piece of ice or something, or they think is ice. People sold everything they had and left behind homes and families as they went in search of the mother lode in the gold rush days. Many died. Today, people work themselves to death, sometimes two jobs, sometimes everybody works. Work themselves into an early grave so they can retire or so they can have things. And work comes to their God. If the cure for cancer was on Mars, we'd already made the trip, huh? If people could add an extra 10 years to their life by living on the moon, there'd already be cities there. When something is for sale, people will kill to get it. We just heard the tragic story over the holiday season. They trampled down the doors and killed a man. And they'll camp out on the sidewalk for 2 days in the cold so they can get a bargain. Or be the first ones to have the phone, this new phone or whatever it is. The crazy things that people will do. But most people won't go to church if it's more than 20 minutes away. Where the greatest miracles happen all the time. A place where they can hear the words of eternal life. These men that came from Babylon, they took 2 years out of their life so they could come and find a little child. How is it that these men from Babylon, the land that worshipped idols, where David was prisoner for and the nation of Israel for 70 years, how is it they knew more about the coming of the Messiah than all of Judea, all of the counselors that Herod had? How is it they knew where to look and where to find him more than the people, his own people? Where he was born. It is one thing to know that he was born. It is quite another that he was born for you. How is it they knew? They searched the Scriptures. Jesus told them in John chapter 5, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." The wise men knew the time that they were living in. If you remember the book of Daniel, chapter 9 has many prophecies, has a timeline of when the Messiah was going to come, when he was going to be cut off, when he was going to come back. There's a lot of timelines in Daniel, especially chapter 9. And Daniel wrote the book of Daniel while he was in captivity in Babylon, where the wise men came from. So it stands to reason they had the writings of Daniel there. But I believe they also had the other writings of the Old Testament with them as they studied them. And the reason they could study them was because they were interested. And they wanted to know, and they were searching, and they were looking for something. So many people are looking, but they don't know They never have found it. They could not find the answers that their soul longed for in the Babylonian religion. Now, Babylonia had long gone. Nebuchadnezzar had long gone. But they still had the old religions there. They couldn't find what they were looking for in the traditions and the religions of their homeland. And they knew that there was something missing. They knew there was a longing. They knew that there was something they needed. And God says, if you search, you will find. And they were searching, and God promised, and they did find it. They knew that He was coming, and they knew that His coming was going to be announced by a star. From Numbers 24:17. They knew that, and they understood that. They did not have what we call light pollution. They could look up into the sky and see billions and billions and trillions of stars up in the sky. It is so hard sometimes to go out at night and find the same star each night. Now, if you've been noticing, there have been two bright lights over here. About a few weeks ago, there was up closer to the moon. Well, those aren't stars, those are planets. And they catch your eye, and you go to them right away. But for someone to know enough about the stars to recognize a new one, really studied the stars. Why did they spend so much time on it? Because they were searching, and they were looking for something. I mean, there's people that spend their life sitting down looking through one of those little eyepieces, or watching the computer monitor, looking for a collapsing star, looking for all kinds of things. They spend their life. And sometimes they're looking for something that they're not even sure is there. It's like the guy looking for a black cat in a dark room that's not even there. And he's running around searching all of his, and he never finds it. Because he's looking where there's nothing to find. Like I said, we went to some churches around there close by. I think there's another town over there, maybe 30 minutes away. I talked to some pastors there, and it sounded like there were some good, solid churches there. Will they drive that far? No. I love being in God's house. Even before I was a pastor, I loved being in God's house. And our life and our schedules and whatever was going on around us with family and anything, the church schedule came first in our life. And people got to know that. And that's fine. Because I found something that I was looking for. And it satisfied a longing that I had never got filled before. And that's what Jesus does for you. They are called wise men because they were smart and because they had wisdom to go and look for something. When they saw that star, they changed their whole life. They changed their whole schedule. They put everything on hold. They got a caravan together with I don't know how many people or whatever. And they took off across the wilderness on these camels in a caravan. It's not like we just get in a car and throw a few things in the back and take off. When they planned a trip, it was a major ordeal. It took lots of time to get ready for a trip. They had to make sure they had provisions. They had to make sure they had enough water. They had to make sure what the route was going to be. If they was going through some badlands, they had to make sure they had protection. And they had to have weapons. And so they had to have a whole plan before they ever left. It took organization. It took planning. And it took commitment to where they were going to go and what they were going to do. Now, if you're looking for a king to be born, well, naturally, you're going to go to the capital. You know, if somebody said, well, there's a new king born, well, you're not going to go over to Timbuktu to somewhere to look for the new king that's going to be born. You're going to go to the capital and see where the king's at that was born there, because that's where kings live. They live in the capital. Well, that's why they went to talk to Herod. Because he was the king, and if he's the king, he ought to know if a new king's been born to the Jews. He was there as a Roman to watch over the Jews. No wonder he got a little nervous. No wonder he got a little upset. Somebody was interfering with his kingship there. And he killed his own kids and everything else to maintain his kingdom there. Because he himself, he thought he was number one. When King Herod asked for his scribes to go and search and figure out where this was going to be born, they found it. They found it. Look at this here. Verse 4 of chapter 2. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. The Jewish leaders and those people. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. They found it. They knew where it was. The Jews were waiting for the Messiah. The Jews are still waiting for the Messiah. They haven't recognized him. But listen, you've got somebody that comes in, and they say, I heard that Jesus is born. And we come to find him. Where do we find him? And they went to there, and they found it in the Bible, where he's going to be born. And Micah talks about it, where he's going to be born. They found that. And when they found that, they stayed home. When they found the answer, when they found that the Messiah was born, when they found the prophecy had been fulfilled and he was there, they stayed home. You go check it out and come back and tell me. How sad. How sad. So many people know where the answers are, but they're not willing to go look. They're not willing. It's so sad. There are, use the term groups, gathered today. They walk in through doors, hear some message, and walk out the same way as they walked in. Because they were looking where there was nothing to find. These men went and kept on looking. They did not stop until they found what they were looking for. The rulers, the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, they didn't want to find him. They did not want to find the Messiah. All the miracles, all the infallible proofs that he presented to them when Jesus started his ministry and all the things happened in his life, they wouldn't accept it, they wouldn't see it. They would not allow themselves to see it. Today, I was talking to somebody else. We were talking about gifts and presents. And they go and spend all this money on something for their child, a present, especially the younger ones. They open up the present and they look at it. And then they take the box and start playing with the box. Sometimes the best thing you can get a child is a refrigerator box. They can have more fun with that than anything else. And they're really cheap. But you see, that is today too. The hustle and bustle of the Christmas season. You go across, it just irks me. I would not buy anything that says Xmas on it. What is X in math and algebra? That's the unknown. They have taken Christ out and replaced him with an X for the unknown. Why? Because he's unknown to them, and they're not going to spend those extra letters on that paint, or it's going to take too much room on their sign, and they're not going to be able to put their sale prices up there, whatever it is. Xmas is what they look at. That's where Christ has come. He has been replaced. I think they should take the X out and put a dollar sign in there, because that's what's coming to replace Christ today. And it's just like the child that has the wonderful gift that you've scraped and saved for to give them, and then they play with the box. We never told our son that there was a Santa Claus, and he survived. Why should some guy that's not even real get credit for something that we have scraped and saved together so they can have? We never told him that there was a Santa Claus. We never lied to our child. And he's okay. He didn't come up with some weird disorder and have to go to see the psychiatrist and all those things because we didn't tell him there was a Santa Claus. People today are all busy around, and they're not looking at the gift. The greatest gift, the greatest present of all, came to this world as a little bitty boy. There was found no room for him. He wasn't in the stable. And that's where he was came. The King of Glory came down in a stable. Stables were outside of town. They tend to stink, so they didn't want them close to town. They were outside of town. But I want you to see something else about these wise men here. First, we saw they were seeking. In verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. God showed them the way. Follow the light. Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They got excited about what they found. They got a smile on their face. They jumped down off those camels, if that's what they was riding. And it says exceeding great joy. Not just a little bit of excitement. Not just a little bit of joy. But they had found something that they had been searching for their whole life. They found something they took 2 years out of their life to find. And they searched and they searched. They spent all kinds of their money to get there. And they put a great investment in this. And they found. And what they say, exceeding great joy. I bet there might have been a little shouting there that day. They might have been a little patting on the back. And, hey, we found him. Looky here. Look what we got here. And they come down and they were exceedingly happy. There was a joy on their face. There was a smile from ear to ear. And they got a little excited. They got a little joy in their life. They got a little skip in their heart. They may have caught their breath. They said, we have found what we've been looking for. We have traveled, we have come, we've come all this way. We've come across the wilderness, we've come across the areas. We've trekked and we've followed and we've looked. And now we've found it. Exceeding great joy. And they would come into the house, verse 11. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down. Fell down. These great wise men, the Magi, with all their luster, with all their position, with all their money, with all their wisdom, fell down at the feet of a little child. A little child. No more than 2 years old. Maybe just starting to walk. I don't know. they fell down. Humble. Humble before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They humbled their body. They humbled their heart. They humbled their thoughts. They humbled everything. And they fell down. Prostrate. Below Him. So they had to look up to see Him. And what's it say? Worshipped. Worshipped Him. Worshipped Him. What is worship? What is worship? He told the woman at the well, he must worship Him in spirit and in truth. A lot of these churches have worship and praise service. What's worship? Bowing down, praying to, humbling your heart, talking to Him, singing praises. Opening the Word of God, letting it touch your heart, getting closer to God, bringing together union, oneness in your spirit. You must worship Him in spirit and truth. Without the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your soul, once you get saved, you can't worship Him. Because you must worship Him in spirit and truth. Without the Spirit, crying Abba, Father, how can you worship? But they found Him, and they worshiped Him. And when they had opened their treasures. Now it talks about gold, frankincense, and myrrh, yes, but treasures. They had this big fires in California. They've had floods on the other side of the country while they're having fires on this side of the country. They come in and say, you got 5 minutes to leave. What would you gather? What would you grab? You got 5 minutes. You got to get out of here. The flood's coming. The fire's coming. You got 5 minutes. You got to go now. What would you grab? What would you take? That's your treasure. That's your treasure. They opened them up. Exposed their treasures to God and gave them to Him. God just wants your treasures. God just wants your thoughts. He just wants your heart. He just wants everything. Because He loves you so much. He wants you to love Him too. Just your treasures. What's precious to you? Will you give it to God? What is precious to you? Will you let Him have it? Family? Will you let Him have your family? Your home? Will you let Him have your home? Your savings account, checkbook? Will you let Him have those? Will you give Him charge over them in your life? Grandchildren, will you give them to Jesus? Will you trust Him with them? Your own life, will you give Jesus your life? Will you trust Him with it? What's your treasures? Give them to Jesus. Trust Him to take care of them. Your grandchildren, your spouse, your family, your own children. You realize He loves them more than you do. Give them to Jesus. Give your treasures to Him. Let Him take care of them. Because what's it say? Where your treasures are, there will your heart be. Give your treasures to Jesus, and that's where your heart will be. With Jesus. Gold. For deity, for worship, as they decorated the temple with gold, all the things that they gave Him. Frankincense, for worship, as they mixed the senses and the prayers go up. Myrrh, to embalm the body,
so it won't smell when it dies. Worship, deity, worship, and death. The Son of God came to die. Those gifts right there tell a whole story. They was warned of God in a dream to not go back to tell King Herod. They went another way. He told Joseph, take the young child to Egypt. Herod seeks to kill him. What kind of person? What kind of person can go in and kill babies with their swords and their spears? King Herod had all the children, 2 years and under, to be murdered, to be killed. He ordered that to take place. They're murdering babies today that are not even born. Why? Because the hearts have gotten cold. They've listened to some educated fool. That is how wicked and vile and evil and how determined Satan is to stop the gospel. He thought he was going to have Herod go in, kill all the babies. That'll take care of the prophecy all the way back from Genesis chapter 3. He wanted to stop it. He wanted to stop that Messiah. He wanted to stop the one that was going to bruise him in the head. He wanted to stop him at any cost. The devil is real. The devil is terrible. And the devil is wicked. And the devil never takes vacation. And he wants to destroy. What soldier, what man can take a little innocent baby and run it through with their sword or with their spear? That happened. That's how the world received the birth of Jesus. That's what they thought about the birth of Jesus. That's what they thought about God. The world is not your friend. Satan is not your friend. It will never be. It will never, ever be. When Herod died, they came back from Egypt. This season, when you're at the store and someone says, Happy Holidays, you turn around and say, Merry Christmas. When someone says something about the season, you tell them about the reason for the season. There's people out there searching. They need a guide. They need someone to bring them to the truth. Wouldn't it be so great that during this Christmas season, people found the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, in their life? No matter what your family is doing, put Jesus first. We're going to have church here Christmas Eve. I mean, a lot of families do their thing on Christmas Eve, whatever. But don't be afraid to take a stand for Jesus. Don't fall into the rut of tradition. Don't fall into the rut of all these things going on.
you determine to take a stand in your life and in your family's life and in your home's life to put Jesus first. Make a commitment. And I guarantee you, God will bless you. If the least little thing will keep you out of God's house, then that tells them how important Jesus is in your life. How important is Jesus in your life? How much do you love Him? How much do you care about Him? How much do you love Jesus? How much is He real in your life? Is He your number one love? The Laodicean church had left their first love. Don't leave your first love. Stay close to Him. And He'll help you. He'll help you. Don't get into this, well, I got to buy this one a gift. I got to buy that one a gift. I got to do this a gift. We used to do that when we first got married. We'd go in debt. It'd take us all year to get out of debt. And then the next year we'd do the same thing again. A little dense up there sometimes, you know? Sometimes it takes a while to get through. Our kids, that's just great to be with family. It's just great to know we have one son and a daughter-in-law and three great-grandchildren. It's a blessing in my heart to know that they're all saved. It's a blessing in my heart to know that they're in God's house today serving God and are serious about it. Oh, that's a blessing that you'll never... Oh, what a blessing it is. The circle will never be broken. What a blessing that is. Sometimes we can't say that. My mother-in-law wasn't always saved. It was late in her years before she got saved. But oh, we've had such a fellowship with her. Such a sharing together with her sister that's saved. Another sister, we're not sure. Religious. We shared a pizza and had a good meeting. But there wasn't that oneness there with the Spirit of God. We was ordering a pizza at another place. And the lady said, the waitress, I thought you might be Christians. You know why? We recognized each other. Because our spirits were the same. Oh, there's a lot of family. They're blood. But you are my family. You are my family. And you are dearer, and I know more about your lives, and you're closer to me than other family that's blood. Because we are blood brothers and sisters. Because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that made us blood brothers and sisters. Forever. Forever. Because the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world laid down His life so I could have life. The cross is empty and the tomb's empty, but my heart's full because that's where Jesus is. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. I don't know what God's laid on your hearts. I don't know what God's burdening you about. I don't know what God's wanting to do in your life. But first of all, and always first of all, do you know that you're saved? Can you say beyond the shadow of a doubt that I know I'll see Jesus? Dear God, we ask that You'll take this time, that You'll take these words, that You'll take these promises from Your Scriptures, that the joy in my heart may show forth, and the joy in Your people's hearts may show forth through this season as we uplift Jesus. And if there's one here or more that's not saved, that today will be their day, that they receive the greatest gift of all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want Mary